Hey, Mindy here, and before we start the show, I just wanted to invite you and your family to become members of the World Organization of Wowzers. Members of the WOW not only help to support the making of this show, but there are some pretty big perks in it for you, too. With your membership, you'll receive a welcome box with a members-only t-shirt, an autographed photo of Guy Raz and me, plus annual birthday greetings, digital access to over 700 episode-specific activities, and more. Plus, for every membership purchased, Tinkercast will donate a teacher membership to an underserved classroom via First Book. Grown-ups, for more on becoming members of the World Organization of Wowzers, just visit tinkercast.com/membership. Thank you so much for your support. Now please enjoy this brand new episode of Wow in the World.
Proceeded 3, 2, 1, ignition.
Get ready for an adventure of magnificent proportion.
I don't know what brought these strange and frightening Martians to our planet, but they're gone now, Liza. They're gone, and we can go on living again.
Oh, but Barry, how do we know they won't return?
Oh, we don't. Not for certain in any case, but if there's one thing that I know for certain, it's that nothing can keep us apart, Liza. Nothing. Not even an invasion from Mars.
Oh, man. That film gets me every time, Mindy.
Oh, Guy Razzie, are you crying? You know, it is perfectly natural to get emotional at science fiction movies. Hang on a second. Let me get you a tissue here. There you go, buddy.
Thanks, Mindy. Ugh, gross. Is this a used tissue?
Uh-huh.
Mindy, do you have any unused tissues?
Well, I do, but I'm kind of saving those for when I really need them, so...
I gotta tell you, Mindy, this drive-in movie double feature was such a great idea.
I know! Socially distanced, nobody complaining about my stinky snacks.
Apart from me...
Sardine. Also, since we're at a drive-in theater, I'm pretty sure this counts as some time in the great outdoors.
And the two movies they're playing, they're sci-fi classics. Invasion from Mars is one of my favorite dumb-free go-kart films.
Mine too! And I gotta say, Guy Raz, these old sci-fi movies are where I get some of my best invention ideas.
Attention moviegoers, our next science fiction feature film will begin in 30 minutes. During the intermission, be sure to blast off to the concession stand and try our limited edition flying saucers of ice cream.
Me.
Mindy, do you ever think about life outside of Earth?
What do you mean? Like the bug-eyed aliens from Mars?
No.
The blob monsters from Garbon 5?
What? No.
The Vigeratrons from Tulsa!
No, Mindy, I'm talking about the actual scientific search for extraterrestrial life. Like the SETI Institute, the scientific institute that spends all of its time looking for life outside of Earth.
Ah, the SETI Institute, huh?
Yeah, it stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
And have they found any blob monsters yet?
What? No, no blob monsters, Mindy. In fact, we've had no reliable signs of life outside of Earth whatsoever.
Is there a but coming? Please tell me there's a but.
But?
Yes.
But that hasn't stopped scientists from looking. For more than 50 years, NASA's been sending out spacecraft and looking out at distant galaxies through their telescopes, trying to find signs of life.
And?
Well, although we haven't found any concrete proof of life beyond Earth, we have found over 4,000 exoplanets.
Oh, you're talking about those planets that are found outside of our solar system.
Yup, and out of those 4,000 planets, about 60 of them are considered to be habitable exoplanets.
And by habitable, you mean an exoplanet that is just the right distance from a star so that it's not too hot and it's not too cold. It's just right.
Exactly. In fact, some scientists refer to these planets as being in the Goldilocks zone, the perfect distance away from a star to harbor life.
And scientists have found 60 of these habitable exoplanets so far?
Yeah, and more of these exoplanets are discovered all the time, Mindy. And scientists believe that some of them might be able to host alien life.
Blob monsters!
Well, not quite, because scientists believe that if life does exist outside of Earth, it's most likely that it will be microbial life.
Huh?
Teeny, tiny creatures that like to eat up other molecules and expel gas.
Oh, am I, Because I like to eat up your snacks and, you know. Oh, excuse me.
Anyway, there may not be an alien invasion coming anytime soon, Mindy, but there very well could be microbial life out there in the cosmos thriving, just waiting to be discovered.
Wait a minute, Guy Raz. Do you mean, like, on Venus?
Venus?
Yeah, you know, second planet from the sun, hottest planet in the solar system, all that jazz. Anywho, I just read that scientists have a hunch that microbial life might exist on Venus.
Wow, really?
Yeah. You want to check it out?
What do you mean?
Well, Venus is the brightest object other than the moon in the night sky.
Huh, you don't say.
Yeah, in fact, I think we could probably spot it from here if it wasn't for all this light pollution! Hey!
What?
You're junking up the sky! Turn off your lights!
No!
You're right, Mindy. With all the light coming from these cars and the buildings all around us, I can barely see any stars tonight.
I got an idea.
What?
Why don't we take a quick spin out to somewhere a little bit darker so that we can see Venus and look for microbial life on it?
I don't know, Mindy. Doesn't the next movie start in, like, 10 minutes?
Guy Raz, we are sitting in a mostly functional wow machine that can have us out and back before this guy even finishes reading the snack bar specials.
Hey there, moviegoers. Just a reminder to explore our concessions. We've got out-of-this-world deals on delicious Martian bars, incredible close encounters of the gummy candy kind, and our healthy snack option, Planet of the Apricots. Now, listen closely as I list all of our prices, sizes, and combo configurations in order to frustrate you into buying something. Let's begin with popcorn. We have salted, buttered, heavily buttered, just the butter in a cup. Cheese, caramel, chili spice.
Okay, I'm in. Let's do some stargazing.
Booyah! Okay, let me just plug in the coordinates here. Bloop, bloop, beep, bop, boop, bop, beep, bop, boop. All right, all set. Reggie, Guy Raz, hold on to your buns, because here we go!
And where exactly are we, Mindy?
Well, just open up the hatch and find out.
All right. Whoa. Look at all the constellations up there, Mindy. There's the Big Dipper and Orion's Belt.
Looks like it's gotten a little wider since the last time I saw it. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Anywho, this is my favorite spot for stargazing.
And where are we? It looks like we're standing in the middle of a desert.
Oh, that's because we're standing in the middle of a desert.
Oh,
Guy Raz, we are at the hottest, driest, and lowest point in North America.
The hottest, driest, and lowest point in North America. Mindy, are we in Death Valley National Park?
I don't know. Reggie, check the map. Are we in Death Valley National Park? Oh, looks like you're right, Guy Raz.
What are we doing here?
Well, because of how secluded this part of the world is, I mean, we're basically in the middle of nowhere, there is very little light pollution out here.
Which makes it a great place for stargazing.
Exactoritos. In fact, scientists classify this place as a gold-tier dark sky park.
Wow.
So, can you spot Venus?
Well, we haven't even gotten our telescope out yet, Mindy.
You don't need a telescope to spot Venus in the night sky, Guy Raz. At least not at this hour. Look, it's right there.
You mean that super bright star, Mindy?
That's right. Only it's not a star, it's a planet.
Our sister planet.
What?
Well, that's what some scientists call it because it's so similar in size and mass to Earth.
Huh. Well, as it turns out, Guy Raz, this sister planet of ours might also be home to some extraterrestrial life.
Oh, yeah. You were saying before that some scientists think that there might be microbes living on Venus?
Yep. See, this group of researchers from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, well, they just announced that they have discovered a gas called phosphine in Venus's atmosphere.
Wait a second, Mindy. Isn't phosphine that chemical that smells awful?
Yeah. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, you know, the CDC, it has an odor of garlic or decaying fish. So basically, it just smells like my pocket.
Ugh. So what does this foul-smelling chemical have to do with extraterrestrial life, Mindy?
Well, here on Earth, basically the only thing that can create this gas are these teeny tiny little microbes called anaerobic bacteria.
Microbes that love to do aerobics? Get it, Mindy? Get it?
Oh! Anywho, anaerobic bacteria means that it's a kind of bacteria that does not need oxygen to grow and survive.
And so these scientists from MIT, they believe that this sort of bacteria is making that gas on Venus?
Yes! Well, I mean, sort of. They're not saying that this is definitely proof of life on Venus, but they can't really think of any other way that this gas could have gotten there, so...
Wow, Mindy, this is huge!
I know! What is that, a coyote?
No, calm down, Mindy. It's just my guy phone. Uh-oh.
What-oh?
Well, according to this science alert I just got on my guy phone, there might not be any phosphine on Venus after all.
What? What are you talking about, Guy Raz? They just discovered it. You can't undiscover something that you just discovered.
Well, it's sort of how science works. It's called replicability.
Replica what? What?
Well, you know, replication. It means to copy or to duplicate something. And in science, replication is how we know for sure that something is a scientific fact.
Ah, sort of like when I tried to fit 45 different pairs of shoes on Reggie's feet, only to discover that it was a scientific fact that pigeons should not wear shoes.
Exactly.
Really?
And usually when a new discovery is made, scientists will discuss it with each other to make sure that their findings make sense. And if they do, they post about it in something called a peer-reviewed scientific journal.
Oh, Reggie, a peer-reviewed scientific journal is kind of like a newspaper for scientists.
Exactly. And once this new discovery is out in the open, other scientists will jump on it and perform the experiment again, making sure to copy or replicate it in the exact same way as the original scientists.
So other scientists also looked for phosphine in Venus's atmosphere just like those scientists from MIT?
That's right. And according to this science alert, out of the three teams of scientists that have tried to replicate and reproduce those early findings of phosphine in Venus's atmosphere, not a single one has been able to do so.
Oh, bonker balls.
But that's okay, Mindy. This is exactly how science is supposed to work. By replicating experiments with different groups of scientists, we're able to find out whether something is actually a scientific fact or just a fluke.
Well, I guess you're right, Guy Raz, but still a big bummer.
Well, scientists still aren't certain that phosphine doesn't exist on Venus. It's just that these new studies also have to be verified before they can say for sure. And I suppose the only real way to know for sure would be to send a spacecraft up there and take actual readings from Venus's atmosphere.
Oh, well, that might just be happening, Guy Raz.
Really?
Yeah. For the first time in almost 40 years, there are plans to send a spacecraft to Venus.
Whoa, wow.
So this private space company called Rocket Lab is planning to send a satellite and probe to our sister planet, Venus, as early as 2023. And specifically, they're sending it there to collect information from the Venusian atmosphere.
And how are they going to do that?
You know what? Let me go to the WOW machine and get out my telescope, and then I'll tell you all about it. Be right back. Walk, 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 walk. Got it! Walk, 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 walk. Together here.
Oh! Ow! Do you need a hand setting that up, Mindy?
I got it! There we go. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Huh, let me have a look here. Whoa. It looks like the whole planet is one giant volcano, Mindy.
Well, Venus is the hottest planet in our solar system, Guy Raz. It has a surface temperature of about 471 degrees Celsius or 880 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's as hot as my pizza oven.
You eat pizza?
Yeah. Anyway, are those scientists from Rocket Lab planning on sending a probe to this flaming hot fireball?
Uh-huh. Well, if all goes according to plan.
Huh.
After launching from Mahia in New Zealand, the spacecraft will spend several months hurtling through space until it arrives at its final destination.
What does it do when it gets to Venus? I mean, how is it going to search for life in its atmosphere?
The main part of the satellite will whiz by Venus, taking pictures and information of the planet's atmosphere from above. But to get up close and personal, it'll release a smaller probe that will rocket down into the planet's cloudy atmosphere, collecting more and more and more information! I don't know why I'm laughing like this!
And it's this little probe that's going to be able to tell us whether this garlic-smelling gas exists and if it's being produced by microbes?
Exactoritos, Guy Raz.
Huh. And so how are they going to get the probe back?
They're not.
They're not?
Nope. In fact, that probe isn't even attached to a parachute. It's going to be slamming straight into Venus at a speed of around 6 miles a second.
Whoa. That's like 21,600 miles or 34,000 kilometers per hour.
Yep. Although I'd say the odds of this probe actually making it to the surface of Venus are pretty slim.
Huh, why is that?
Because of atmospheric pressure.
Of course. And by atmospheric pressure, you mean how much the atmosphere squeezes an object.
Yeah, and the pressure of Venus's atmosphere is about 75 times stronger than the pressure here on Earth.
Whoa. So I guess that probe isn't going to last long once it enters Venus's atmosphere.
Yeah, it's going to get crushed like a tin can. But it should have enough time to get some information about the atmosphere and tell scientists once and for all whether or not there is phosphine present on the planet.
So let me get this straight. This little probe is going to get shot down to Venus.
Yep.
Where it'll take some measurements and information.
Uh-huh.
And then beam them back up to the satellite.
That's right.
Which then beams them back to the scientists on Earth.
Exactoritos.
Whoa. This could be one of the greatest discoveries in human history, Mindy.
Or it could be nothing.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait a few years to find out for ourselves.
I know, and my patience tank here is at an all-time low. I mean, look, there's nothing left inside.
What in the... Hey, Mindy, I can't see Venus through the telescope anymore.
Oh, yeah, I created this telescope to run on quarters, and, looks like your time is up, buddy. Just in time, too. The next movie's about to start any second. Come on, we gotta get back to the drive-in. Walk, 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 back to the wow machine.
Open the hatch.
After you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's just go ahead and plug in the coordinates here for the drive-in movie place. All right, Guy Razzie, get your popcorn ready, because here we go! Made it.
Whew. And just in time, too, Mindy. I think it's about to start.
It's impossible. It's unbelievable.
It's fantastic, I tell you.
But what is it? Wherever did it come from?
Its name is Zonta. And it came from Venus.
Huh. I guess there is life on Venus after all, Mindy.
Wow in the World will be right back. Grown-ups, this message is for you.
This message for parents comes from Storytime with Josh and Blue, Nickelodeon's official Blue's Clues and You podcast. Grown-ups and kids can join Josh and Blue on more adventures. In each episode, Josh helps Blue settle down by reading her a story. You'll hear Josh having lots of fun, doing tons of silly voices, all leading to the grand finale, a restful snooze for a dog named Blue. Binge all 10 episodes of Storytime with Josh and Blue wherever you get your podcasts. And catch Blue's Clues and You on Nickelodeon.
This message for parents comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc. Teladoc is here for you with 24/7 access to board-certified doctors who can diagnose and treat non-emergency conditions like sinus infections, allergies, rashes, and more. And Teladoc's doctors can, where authorized, call in a prescription to be filled at the pharmacy of your choice. Download the app today or visit teladoc.com/NPR.
If you need a break from the news, Pop Culture Happy Hour now has you covered 5 days a week. We're here to help you find new TV shows, movies, music, books, and video games to keep you company in these difficult times. Listen now to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
That's it. Back to the show.
Wow in the World.
Hi, thanks for calling Wow in the World. After the beep, get ready to record.
Hi, Wow in the World. It's me, Sawyer, from Crested Butte, Colorado. And my wow is that NASA sended a new Mars rover called Perseverance, and it'll land on Mars in February 2021 and say hi to Grandma G-Force, Thomas Fingerling, Baby B, Reggie, and Static Man.
Ah, heavens!
Oh, snap!
Someone changed my diaper!
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name is River, and I live in Asbury Park in New Jersey. Did you know that flying snakes don't really fly in the air? They rather glide. And there are 5 known species that do this.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz.
My name is Elliot from Eugene, Oregon. And my wow is that a woodpecker's tongue is so long that it stores it up inside its skull. Isn't that so wow? Bye!
Hi, my name is Addie, and I live in Arizona, Phoenix. My wow is that we make thousands of decisions every day. Say hi to Reggie, Janice, Grandma G-Force for me.
Ahoy there!
Excuse me?
Hey, Mindy. Hey, Guy Raz. My name is Eitan from Jerusalem. My wow in the world is that scientists are trying to bring back woolly mammoths using DNA. Hey, Thomas Fingerling. Hey, Grandma G-Force.
It was a woolly mammoth, and his name was Ted.
Oh, yeah.
I love your show. Bye.
Hi, my name is Matilda, and I live in Jefferson, Maryland. My wow in the world is Saturn's density is so low that it would float in water.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name is Claire from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And my wow in the world is that the temperature of the Earth's core is around 7,500 Kelvin, which is hotter than the sun's surface. Bye, love your show.
Hi, my name is Andrew. I live in Washington, D.C. This is my wow. Did you probably know that when a sea star limb gets chopped off, it grows a new one. But did you know that the limb grows a new body and all the guts in it? I love you, Reggie. Bye.
End of messages.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us this week on Wow in the World.
And to keep the wow rolling, check out this week's scientific conversation starters at our website, wowintheworld.com.
And grown-ups, there you can find more info on how your kids can become members of the World Organization of Wowzers, shop our Wow Shop, upload photos and videos to us, and check dates for our upcoming live events. That's wowintheworld.com.
Our show is produced by Jed Anderson,
who provides the bells, whistles, and silly characters. Say hello, Jed.
Hello.
Our show is written by me, Guy Raz, and Thomas Van Kalken, who also provides silly characters. Tom?
Hello there.
Thanks also to Jessica Bode, Anna Zagorski, Rebecca Caban, Kit Ballinger, and Alex Curley. Meredith Halpern-Ranzer powers the WOW at Tinkercast.
Our theme song was composed and performed by The Pop-Ups. For more on their three-time Grammy-nominated all-ages music, find them at thepopups.com.
And grown-ups, you can follow WOW in the World on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at WOW in the World. And our email address is hello@wowintheworld.com.
And if you're a kid with a big wow to share with us, call us at 1-888-7-WOW-WOW for a chance to be featured at the end of the show.
Also, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to WOW in the World on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, leave us a few stars, a review, or just tell a friend about the show.
Thanks again for listening, and until next time,
keep on wowing. Jinx!
The World was made by Tinkercast and sent to you by NPR.
How do we reinvent ourselves? And what's the secret to living longer? I'm Anoush Zomorodi. Each week on NPR's TED Radio Hour, we go on a journey with TED speakers to seek a deeper understanding of the world and to figure out new ways to think and create. Listen now.